I'd say there's a lot of life to be lived, and I'm going out and doing it.
Now back to Breast Cancer 2013 on 720 WGN.
Our final hour of our annual town hall meeting on where we are in the fight against breast cancer, the latest medical info, your telephone calls, and also some amazing survivor stories. Doctors Catherine Pesch in with us today, Dr. Mark Sisko, both from North Shore University Health System, also Ginny Finn, the executive director of ABCD, After Breast Cancer Diagnosis. And I'd like to introduce our two survivors who are here with us today. Marianne Horowitz was diagnosed in October of 2005 and has been very, very proactive in helping other women since then. Welcome. Nice to have you here.
Thank you so much.
And just tell us a little about the journey that you've been through with this.
Well, thanks, Dean. As you mentioned, I was diagnosed in October of 2005. I felt the lump myself and went for a mammogram before I even called my doctor. And the next day, the results were that my mammogram was clear, but the lump was a little naggy. And I did call my doctor, and she asked for me to come in. She checked, and she said, "It feels like everything else that I've ever felt in your breast before. However, if you're concerned, I want to send you on to the breast surgeon." She made an appointment for me that afternoon. He looked at the results of the mammogram himself and said, "I disagree with these results." And he immediately did an ultrasound, and he did a needle biopsy. And going back to your comment, Doctor, earlier today about the phone calling, that was on a Wednesday, and he said, "I should have the results by Friday, and I'll call you into the office Friday." And Thursday evening, when he was driving home from work, he did call me. And he said, "I didn't think you'd want to wait any longer." And he said, "I'm sorry to tell you that all the tests came back positive. You do have breast cancer." I was grateful for the phone call because I think he did it out of a big heart, and he didn't want me to wait any longer. But there are definitely two sides to that issue as well. And I was diagnosed with a stage 3 breast cancer, lobular breast cancer, which is a little less common than ductal and often doesn't show up in a mammogram. My doctor said I'd probably had the lump for 5 years, and until it was large enough for me to feel it, they never came up on a mammogram. I had neoadjuvant chemotherapy, which is chemotherapy prior to any type of surgical treatment, in order to try to shrink the tumor. I had a lumpectomy, which was not successful, and was told when I came out of the anesthesia that I would need a mastectomy. So 3 weeks later, I went in for a mastectomy, and my decision was to have a bilateral mastectomy. After much conversation with the surgeon, and I had a bilateral mastectomy. I was HER2 positive as well, so I had been treated for a full year with Herceptin. And during the course of that Herceptin treatment, when I was done with all the other chemotherapy, I had radiation following the chemotherapy. I had some lymph node involvement as well. And then about 9 months after, a little bit, actually over a year after my diagnosis, I had bilateral reconstruction. And the journey that I took was helped by so many people. I had always been actively involved with Why Me as a walker in the annual Mother's Day walk. And a very dear friend said, "Well, now that you're on this side of it, let's make some lemonade out of the lemons." And we began walking with Why Me. And when I was a year out of my treatment, I was able to take the training and become a volunteer for Why Me. And I served on their helpline for years until they closed last year in 2012.
Yeah, and now working with ABCD.
When Why Me closed their doors, I kept in touch with the women from there and said, "If there's anything else we can do, I want to be part of it." And I met you, Ginny, last year. I came up to Milwaukee and took a training there and took some phone calls there, and we've been working together since. And I'm thrilled to be part of ABCD. I think it fills a need for other breast cancer patients, for family members, for people that are just generally interested in what's going on in the breast cancer world. I was so grateful to be surrounded by family and friends and a community at large that was supporting me and holding me up through the 15 months that I was in treatment and having surgeries.
Well, you know, I wondered about that as you're telling your story. I mean, that's a lot that you went through.
It was a long time.
That was really a lot, and you are so upbeat and so inspiring, and I know that you work hard to help other women and other people going through all of this.
Thank you.
I mean, were you like that from the get-go, or is this just, you know, now that you've been through all of this, you know, this is sort of your demeanor? I mean, emotionally, what was it like for you to go through all of that?
Emotionally, I don't necessarily think that I gave myself a whole lot of time to think about it. I was not given a lot of choices in anything that happened in my treatment. I was told this is what I had to do to save my life. So I didn't have the choice of chemotherapy or not, or radiation or not. So in some ways, it made my decisions much easier because I didn't have to think it through a whole lot with a lot of emotion. It was just I was doing it. So I kind of, will put the word soldier in quote, but kind of soldiered on through the treatment. But because of the people that I had surrounding me, I was able to stay upbeat. And there were not every day was an easy day and not every day was a good day. But on the whole, my demeanor was to get through it all so that I could move on to the next chapter in my life with my family. I had my two daughters had just each moved out of the house, and my son was still home with my husband and me. So I was trying to keep it together for them as well. And so we kind of all held each other up.
Yeah, that's so important, isn't it, in going through this, of having your support system, the people who are around you, that are you're all on the same team and working in the same way. Although it can be very difficult for the people who are around the person who actually has the disease.
I may have been the patient going through the actual treatment, but my family had breast cancer with me. My friends had breast cancer with me. We shared that journey.
Also, we have another breast cancer survivor in the studio with us, who we will meet in just a moment, who just became a new mom just a few months ago also. So we'll hear that interesting story when we come back on WGN.
I felt like I had a plan. As soon as I found that doctor I could trust, I could move forward, and I was going to do everything possible to make this come out better on the other side.
Back to Dean Richards, Breast Cancer 2013 on 720 WGN.
And our guests, Dr. Mark Sisko and Catherine Pesch from North Shore University Health System, Ginny Finn from ABCD after breast cancer diagnosis. We've met one of our survivors, Marianne Horowitz, and also Angela and John Martin are here. Angela was diagnosed with breast cancer in July of 2003 when she was only 27 years old, fairly unusual. Normally this is something that you hear about when women are a little bit older than that. So Angela, welcome first of all, but you must have been shocked because this doesn't happen to a younger woman. You know, that's the mindset with most people.
Yeah, absolutely. Good afternoon, Dean. It's great to be here. I think for me it was, it was shocking because I was so young and I was single at the time and, you know, just gotten out of college and was really just building my career and focusing on that. And in fact, the way I found it was when I was out on a business trip and was in York, Pennsylvania, working as an engineer at Harley-Davidson, flew out to York, Pennsylvania for the week as usual, and got home and realized that there was a lump. And immediately I called my older sister, and we both started to cry because I lost my aunt when she was 32 years old. And when she passed, she left behind a three-year-old little boy. And so for me, I was, you know, yes, it's cancer is very much one of those things that you hear of only older people getting. But for me, it struck the heart, and I realized it was something I couldn't mess around with and needed to get treatment right away.
Yeah. So, how did you deal then with, you know, what was to follow? You kind of, you know, you have your crying moment, right? And
yeah,
then you just kind of get it together somehow and then forge into this battle, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. I think for me it was, you know, first trying to get people to take it seriously and get it people to go ahead and get me in as quick as they could. And it took a bit of convincing. I got into my OBGYN within a few days. And then after that, they said, well, you know, we'll go ahead and do a mammogram. And that took another week. And then after that, they said, well, we're sure that, you know, this is nothing because, yeah, we feel the lump, but we don't see anything on the mammogram. So you're probably fine. But just to be sure, given your family history, my mother is a survivor, my grandmother's a survivor, and then I lost my my only maternal aunt, like I said. And so then we went ahead and did a biopsy and sure enough found out that it was cancer. And even when I was getting the biopsy, I remember the nurse was saying, okay, you know, I'm sure it's nothing, hon. Don't worry. And you know, I'm sure it's nothing, especially with how young you are. And then after I had an ultrasound done, her face was kind of changing. In that moment, I thought, okay, this is not going to be good. got the ultrasound, or got the biopsy, got the results back, and sure enough, had cancer. So yeah. Then from there, it was, you know, sobbing for several days and just trying to come to terms with the reality of it. And my mom is in the healthcare field as well, and so she urged me to get a second opinion. And when I did, I felt much more comfortable with the descriptions that surgeon was giving me and his idea for a treatment plan and the nurses around. And I think some of the docs earlier were talking here today about that bigger institutions have a much more integrated program. And the first institution I went to was just, you know, kind of that one-off and didn't really feel that comfortable with. But the second institution I went to was much more integrated plan, and they made me feel much more comfortable. They're actually the ones who introduced me to ABCD, where I first got, some coaching from a peer who had been through a similar diagnosis at such a young age, and where I now continue to mentor other young women and help them through their journey.
Yeah, what kind of treatment did you go through?
So first step for me was to get the cancer out, right, do surgery. And so they gave me a choice of, hey, you can either do a lumpectomy or you can do a mastectomy. My mother had done the mastectomy, the double mastectomy. But for me, since I was 27, I said, you know, tell me about the survival rates. If I can survive just as well with a lumpectomy paired with radiation, for me that was ideal. It was a personal choice, but for me, I still hadn't met that special guy in my life that I now have in my life. And I hadn't yet had the chance to have children. And so for me, I wanted the chance to, you know, maintain as much of being a young female as I could and have the chance to maybe breastfeed someday. Certainly, you know, being able to get pregnant is at this point even just a miracle that my husband and I are incredibly thankful for. But for me, that was the first step, was getting surgery. And then from there, it was chemo, months of chemo. And then after that, it was, you know, months of radiation. And then from there, 5 years of tamoxifen therapy, which is a hormone therapy. My tumor was estrogen positive. And so from there, I did the 5 years of tamoxifen.
So the fact that you did become pregnant, your son Owen is a whopping 8 weeks old.
Yes.
Right now.
Yeah.
We're just sharing the pictures around the studio here and looking at how cute he is.
Thank you.
Must have been extra special for you, given what you've been through, but also for the doctors, having a patient who is younger, that's a whole different dynamic of treatment, isn't it, with what a younger woman is going to go through than someone who is a little bit older.
Totally different. Yeah, it's a totally different box. And you have to talk about so many other issues that might be different in someone who's in their 60s. And a lot of it is the fact that you want to have children someday and you want to breastfeed, and maybe you haven't met your husband yet. And all of those things they take up the majority of the discussion a lot of times. It's a very different discussion.
Yeah. What medically, are there other considerations in the treatment for somebody who is older versus younger?
There are, in that, for instance, if we know early enough that you're going to need chemotherapy, for instance, that can really change things in terms of, a lot of women will freeze their eggs, freeze embryos, things like that you have to think of, because after chemotherapy, it is more unlikely that you would be able to get pregnant. So that can change treatment as well. That's one thing that's different.
Yeah, so little Owen is a little bit of a miracle, I guess.
He is. He could not have the opportunity to freeze eggs when I was diagnosed. That's fairly new. But certainly the women that I mentor now, I tell them about that because I really wanted that option. But you could only freeze embryos at that time.
Yeah, your husband John is also here in studio with us. And John, how did all of this impact upon you?
Well, I obviously don't have the experience of having known Angela through all that she went through at the time. I know her only as a survivor, that gives me the experience of knowing what she's gone through and what kind of strength and courage it's required for her to make it to the point that we were able to meet each other and then go through life together. There is some uncertainty there for both of us in terms of our ability to have a family. And, you know, we knew that uncertainty was there, but we were going to do what we could to get through that, defy the disease, and see what happened. And God blessed us. And we have a beautiful little boy now who really is the apple of our eye. We just love him in a way that we've never known love before. And I have a picture that I took when I was in labor and delivery with Angela the day that that she delivered little Owen. And it's the picture that we call our picture of defiance, and it's a picture that shows her when Owen was placed on her chest right after he was delivered and dried off and put in a warming blanket. And the picture shows Angela with the greatest, biggest smile. Mm-hmm. It shows Owen looking nice and warm and cuddly, and it shows her lumpectomy scar, big and proud.
Yeah, that's profound. That, I mean, that's talk about a picture saying 1,000 words, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that must have been really special. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back and take more phone calls and talk more. I want to talk with the survivors. I want to ask the survivors what if there's anything that they would have done differently. If there's anything that having gone through it, something that they wish that they had done differently through the whole process. So we'll chew on that for a minute, and we'll come back to you and get right to the phone calls. Thank you very much for everybody being so patient on the phones today. We'll get to you next at 312-981-7200 on WGN.
To get cancer, just kind of, it like breaks a bubble and everything falls away. Nothing is the same. No, you can't get upset about little things anymore.
Now back to Breast Cancer 2013 on 720 WGN.
As usual with our annual show, so much information, so little time. Going to get to as many phone calls as we possibly can with our guests, Dr. Catherine Pesch and Dr. Mark Sisko with North Shore University Health System. We have Ginny Finn, the Executive Director of ABCD, after breast cancer diagnosis, in with us today, and also survivors Marianne Horowitz and Angela Martin, and her husband John, also with us in studio, to take your questions, answer, comment, 312-981-7200, or your texts at 24720. And let's go to Dorothy on the phone line next on WGN. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi. My question is, should annual mammograms always be done regardless of age every year?
So the recommendations are to start mammograms at the age of 40 and to have them annually. In terms of if you have a family history, so let's say you have a first degree relative, for instance, your mother was diagnosed at a relatively young age with breast cancer, we will in general start mammograms about 10 years earlier in her daughter, for instance. The other side to that question is, when do you stop doing mammograms, which is kind of a difficult question to answer. And as a breast surgeon, I get asked that quite a lot. You know, for instance, if you have a woman who's 85 and she's kind of laughing at me asking, do I really have to keep getting that every year? And really the way that I answer that is very much on an individual basis, depending on the woman's overall health. And if she's a very healthy 85-year-old, and I think she's going to live another 85 years, or I'm sorry, another 10 years.
Quite the miracle.
Another 10 years, right. Forgive me.
Right.
If I think she's going to live another 10 years, then I will get, I'll continue to get mammograms.
Oh, I was telling the doctors during the break, my 90-year-old mother went and had her annual mammogram, and they found something. And the treatment, I mean, she's fine. Everything's fine. But it was very interesting, the treatment for, we're talking about the treatment for a younger woman, the treatment for an older woman also is different because the metabolism has slowed down so much by age, in her case, 90 years old, right?
Very much so. It's not always clear-cut exactly how we should be managing much older, elderly patients who do develop breast cancer. A lot of times they actually don't need surgery, but we will give them, for instance, tamoxifen or one of the hormonal agents, and that will actually, they'll get a great response alone with that. But if they're a healthy 90-year-old, we will do surgery sometimes, and that's it. It's a very different treatment plan.
Thanks for the call, Dorothy, and thank you for holding on. Doug, you're next on WGN.
Oh, hello. Thank you so much for having me, Dean. I've got a question for Dr. Catherine. And long story short, 2 years ago, my wife developed breast cancer, and it was triple negative. And she had the lump removed, and at which time she had in her left arm under the 14 lymph nodes. She had 12 removed, went through the chemotherapy for about, you know, a year. And then about a month and a half ago, a lump came on her neck. We had that looked at. It was cancerous, had that removed. And since then, it has now gone to her brain. There is 9 tumors on her brain. And her lymph nodes in her stomach are infected. I've had 2-3 opinions from doctors. They're saying full radiation to the brain first, deal with the stomach later. Or the third one, possibly it's a type of surgery. You would just go in for the day. They would place a kind of a, somewhat of a halo, drill it into her skull, and try to laser out the tumors. And that is one of the two options. Two of the doctors recommended the full radiation, but it seems that they'd only, even with that being said, that would only extend her life an additional 2 months. So we've looked at other alternatives, done the research as your other patients have done in different directions. So my question is there any other type of solutions out there at this time?
Well, thanks for the question, Doug, and I'm so sorry to hear about your wife. This does sound like a very bad cancer. And while I'm not an expert, I'm also not an oncologist or a radiation oncologist that is the best person to really give these recommendations to you. What I do know is that this is very rare, and we don't know the best way to manage someone like your wife. But of what you have described, what I do know the most about is actually treating the brain metastases first with radiation is probably the best first treatment to go with. And again, I can't stress enough that it's just that we really don't know what is the best way, but unfortunately, I think they are correct in what they're saying, that her overall prognosis is, you know, sadly unfortunate in that we don't know how long she is going to live, and this would be postponing things for not very long.
Yeah, the and also hard for the doctors to comment without knowing specifics about the case as well. What about alternative therapies? I mean, it sounds like Doug and his wife are doing what they can and getting the best advice that they can right now. What about alternative you know, non-conventional therapies? Are they effective? Is it just something that you try because now you felt like you've absolutely tried everything that there could possibly be?
You know, there's a lot of holistic and Chinese medicine out there that a lot of women will go after, and I encourage them to do so. Even, you know, in a woman who has a very early stage breast cancer, if they express any interest in pursuing those types of alternative medicine therapies, you know, I always recommend it. We have at North Shore a alternative medicine group, which we oftentimes refer them to just to hear about what's out there, be it hypnosis, acupuncture, all things of that sort, you know, and there's a whole other world out there that, for instance, we don't learn about in medical school, but that's not to say I'm also not a proponent of it. So I always encourage them to at least have that conversation with them.
Yeah, I think you need to try everything. I recall on the one of the early breast cancer shows, we had somebody who was either stage 3 or stage 4 and was only doing holistic and alternative therapies. And she would send me a letter every year when we would do the breast cancer show, just saying, hi, I want you to know I'm still around.
Oh, that's so nice.
So, I mean, you know, Doug, try everything, I guess, is the answer. I'm sorry that you're both going through that. But thank you for sharing that, Doug. We appreciate it. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. And Diane, thank you for holding on. You're next on WGN.
Hi. I want to, first of all, thank you for this 3-hour show. And also want to acknowledge the ABCD and Jeannie.
after my breast cancer, my family had a benefit with all the proceeds going to ABCD. And that's a wonderful way to honor your loved one or just kind of help the cause. But anyway, I'm a two-time cancer survivor. In my early 30s, I had a radical hysterectomy, and I'm in my mid-70s now. I've been very conscientious in having mammograms every year. And 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with calcification. Calcification, which is not detected by a self-exam, it's only by a mammogram. So I felt it was important to make, you know, the public aware of this and maybe for the doctors to talk about it. I was told to come back every 6 months for a mammogram. And after a year and a half, they said, we want to take a biopsy. And it's probably nothing. Well, it was cancer. And I had a lumpectomy. And then because I caught it early, they said, you have a choice of having radiation or not, but we'd recommend it. So I had radiation. And anyway,
sorry for interrupting. I'm glad that you brought it up just as a point of awareness so, you know, people can be aware of it. And I thank you for calling, Diane. I want to get to a couple of other things. We're, as always on the show, running desperately short of time. I need to take a final break, and then we'll come back for a final segment before Sports Central comes up at 3 o'clock. And they will review all that's gone on in the NFL today. Coming up on WGN. And the final minutes of our annual three-hour town hall meeting on where we are in the fight against breast cancer. Breast Cancer 2013, winding down here. And just reading some of the texts that you've been sending in at 24720. Thank you for all the very nice texts that you've been sending in. But some kind of interesting ones. And one we were just talking about during the break from the 815 area code. I don't have mammograms because I can't afford cancer. And Ginny, you said that was something that you hear when people call ABCD as well.
Yes, we hear that on the helpline often. Even though our name is after breast cancer diagnosis, quite a lot of people call either because they're trying to figure out how to afford that mammogram or dealing with the nervousness that comes from the situation you just described. Or they've had a bad mammogram and they haven't finished the diagnostics and they want someone to talk to. And that's why we call it a helpline. There aren't as many resources as they once were, and certainly in a complex medical world, it's hard to navigate even the resources that exist. So part of the help people can get is not only immediate support from a survivor, but if they need help navigating, even no matter where they live, if we don't know the answer, part of our commitment is to do a little research and call you back.
Well, the point, though, that the person texting in makes is they would rather not know that they have cancer because they can't afford it. They can't afford it, so they would rather just not know. That is a little bit frightening.
It's extremely frightening, and it's even more frightening that she's not the only person in the world that has ever said that.
Yeah.
And that's often an opportunity for a mentor on the helpline to actually ask some questions as to where the root of that fear is and to actually maybe even share how she managed dealing with the expenses, because certainly we have helpline mentors from every walk of life, and not all of them had health care coverage.
Well, you know, I'm kind of interested because I'm in with the people talking about Obamacare now. People are talking about insurance and coverage and so forth. There are not as many free mammograms as there used to be because of cutbacks everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And really, if say they get they do wind up getting a free or a low cost mammogram, there are even few services now available to people for low cost treatment.
Well, that is true, but it doesn't mean that there aren't ways to put the pieces together. And in particular, in a very sophisticated city like Chicago, I would encourage people to make sure that they still speak with, in, at minimum, the county health department. There is a program throughout the entire nation that's administered at different state levels and county levels that in Wisconsin we call it Well Woman, but that's just the name we gave to it. And if you're diagnosed through that program, you have an economic need for assistance with the mammogram, and those coordinators actually connect you with the hospitals, often hospitals that are collaborating. They might be advertising as competitors on television, but behind the scenes, oncology professionals are pretty extraordinary people, and I have sat in meetings with nurses from different hospitals who say, I can get this for her and I can get that for her. And sometimes it's that down and dirty, but other times there's actually a system. So there is no reason to play with your life because of a dollar sign. I know that sounds really flip and simplistic, but if you really balance it,
there's a way. There's a way.
And I'd rather be a broke person who's getting cancer treatment than a broke person who isn't getting a mammogram.
Yeah, and just prefers to bury their head in the sand and not possibly know that they have cancer because they're afraid of the cost. There is some way to treat this. I mean, you shouldn't feel that hopeless.
And oddly enough, an emotional support from a stranger sometimes helps you get over that hump, because sometimes people don't want to talk about those financial difficulties with their immediate circle because they don't want so much of their private business known. Again,
it's difficult. We have so little time here, in a minute or so. Is it possible, Angela and Marianne, I had asked you if there was anything that you would have changed in your treatment, the process in which you dealt with your own breast cancer. What would you have done differently, if anything? Angela?
I don't know if there's really much I would do differently. I think one of the things that shocked me that I would have a different reaction to is just the way other people handled it. My family and friends that were closest to me were certainly like amazing, and they were my rock. They were the reason I got through it. But there were a number of, you know, other further out circle friends or coworkers that I was shocked to scare away and scared them away from being my friend, I think, because as they saw someone who's 27, perfectly healthy, how could she get diagnosed with cancer?
Yeah, yeah.
So that initial reaction of feeling like, oh, no, not only am I sick, but now I'm feeling bad about myself. What can I do to help them realize that it's going to be okay? And so I felt like I was trying to also help mentor other
people. You were trying to help them.
Yes. Yeah. I think I wish I wouldn't have done that and just realized that, you know, everybody handles uncertainty and difficult circumstances in life differently. And some people have a lot of resilience and some people don't. Just know that you should just go with the people who are there for you and not try to change the world otherwise.
Marianne, how about you?
I was saying before that I think I insulated myself quite a bit during my treatment. I needed to be the one that took myself to chemotherapy, took myself to radiation. When friends wanted to reach out to me, I kind of kept them at an arm's length because maybe I'm more the nurturing type myself, and I couldn't take being nurtured. When I started on the Why Me helpline and people were saying the same thing, the first thing that I would say to them is don't insulate yourself. Don't keep yourself away from other people, because people that do want to reach out to you are reaching out to not only help you but to fill a need in them, and it's still a way of giving back and making the people around you that are willing to be part of this journey, part of this journey. It does ease every step that you take.
And Ginny, if people would like to get information and need help from ABCD or become a mentor and offer help to somebody else, what's the best way to do that?
You can either give us a call at 800-977-4121. Or you can simply look for us on the web at ABCD, Breast Cancer Support. There are a couple of links there depending on what your area of interest is. And in fact, if you do want to be a mentor, we'll be training here in Chicago on November 16th. And if anybody contacts us, we'll be happy to give them more details about that.
Good deal. And we'll put up all the information up on our website at WGNradio.com so you can get information. I want to thank all of you for coming in today and sharing your stories. Really interesting, as usual. We appreciate it. Angela and John Martin, thank you. Thank you for stepping away from 8-week-old Owen for just a little while. That must have been difficult to come here and be with us today. We appreciate it. Marianne Horowitz, thank you very much. Really interesting stories. Jenny Finn is the executive director of ABCD after breast cancer diagnosis. And also Dr. Mark Sisko, plastic and reconstructive surgeon, North Shore University Health System, Catherine Pesch, surgical oncologist, North Shore University Health System, and the co-director of the Breast Center at North Shore Highland Park Hospital. Thank you all very much. Really great show today.
Thank you.
And I wanted to also acknowledge a sad note, but I think poignant, Marshall Wallace, who gave us the voice of Edna Krabappel on The Simpsons. She was also Bob Newhart's wisecracking secretary, Carol. Actress Marsha Wallace, who was also a breast cancer survivor, went through cancer treatment in 1985 and was a tireless voice for those who had breast cancer ever since then. She was a real warrior in the fight against breast cancer, and she died yesterday of unrelated causes of age 70, but I just wanted to acknowledge her. And I think maybe we'll dedicate the show to her today because she sure gave back to a lot of people. It's 2:58. We'll update the news, and then Sports Central is coming up next on WGN.